Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio on BBS, and we also simulcast on YouTube, Rumble, and a few other stations out there, so you can check it out there. It looks like we just got another strike on YouTube for something pretty benign, but that's not hard anymore. We've got a great show this Saturday. We've got two speakers here, and I'm working on my new studio right now, trying to get these things everything up and working. But give me one second here. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, well, we've got some files up here. So we have Ann Fernandez, Yasmin Ann Fernandez, and she's a published author, speaker, clinical hypnotherapist, meditation guide, Reiki master, a medium, and channels from the non-physical world. She's also vice president on the board of Yucca Valley Center for Spiritual Living, and has studied with shamans and worked with renowned psychics such as Chuck Bergman and James von Prague. She has a private practice and intuitive life coach, has been working with thousands of clients for over 40 years. And her private sessions consist of using the best tools to fit each client's needs, and is passionate about helping her clients be empowered and guiding them back to wholeness. Anne was born and raised in a small village surrounded by sugarcane fields with no modern day distractions. Nature became her temple, her teacher. Her shamanic work takes clients into nature, where an awakening awareness of self and oneness with all occurs and healing begins. Anne's own experience with an autoimmune disease led her down a dark path where she wanted to leave her body. However, the spiritual thread that ran through her tapestry of her life caused her to find her way back to wholeness and begin to heal. Anne's work comes from her heart and a desire to heal humanity. And there's a quote from Anne's book: "Each person grows affects the growth of the planet. You matter." And we also have a intuitive breakthrough strategist, Rochelle R. Richards, and she's the author of an upcoming book, "Radiate, Change Your Frequency, Change Your Life." She's the founder and CEO of Infinite Living Institute, Center Living of Holistic Experience, and Infinite Living Institute. She has been featured presenter and MC on radio, television, national, international stages, sharing her unique techniques to assist people in achieving greater personal and business success. Rochelle is especially passionate about helping people realize who they are, who they really are, and so they can step into their most authentic power. She enjoys clearing people's inner chaos so they can experience complete inner freedom, and has an acclaimed medical intuitive. She's is committed to helping clients release buried pain through a combination of her signature intensive emotional release therapy, medical qigong, and crystal and sound healing, so they can thrive in life and business. Rochelle really enjoys leading and hosting spiritual retreats, loving on her four-legged fur babies and climbing trees. Sounds right up my alley. But one of the reasons we're bringing you both on, one, because I think you're going to be great guests, but also to promote your Global Healer Summit. And before we get started, Ken, right up front, I think we should give people, what's the best way for people to contact or get tickets? We have a banner up, should be up, that'll be there. But what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Yeah, it's globalhealerssummit.info, James, and right in that the front page of that website, they can click to register.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, that's going to be, you got quite a lineup there. It's going to be a great event. We've had some just, I don't know about you, but I've been watching just the Schumann resonance is off the
Yes.
scale. I've never
Yes.
seen anything like it.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And, they blacked it out on the Russian site, because, and then we had to go to the Italian site to find out, and the whole thing read it out. It was just insane, but it's just one blast after another after another. And I was talking to some of the Hawaiian elders here, and we were talking about, and I was explaining to them the science behind it, and they're kind of looking at me funny. I go, "Well, it's just higher consciousness and energy in, garbage out." They go, yeah.
Yeah.
And it kept it simple. But I'm sure you've been experiencing that. Have you been seeing a lot of just rapid change in the people around you and your life as well?
My clients are just going bonkers. Daily, I get multiple text messages going, what is happening? How come I'm feeling the way that I am? You know, people coming in the state of panic and, you know, falling apart at the seams kind of thing. And, you know, you just sit with them a few minutes and reassure them that it's not just them, you know, and let them know that the universe is working for them, not against them, but it doesn't feel like that. Right. And try to help them get into a place of balance, you know, emotionally, so they get, you know, so they understand what's happening.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, some of it's ours, but some of it isn't ours. And a lot of it, it's in our fields, and we're feeling the collective psyche just losing it right now, going through their process. And I tell a lot of people, you know, a lot of that may not even be yours. And you clarity in your sacred space. A lot of that is just going to go away, and then go into what you're feeling, go into your emotions and see where that's coming from, and just feel it, you know, become it, let it come through. You know, because you can't avoid it anymore. It's we don't have the luxury of denial. You know,
I'm noticing the same thing too with my clients. I'm getting, you know, texts in the middle of the night. It's like, can I please talk to you? So people are experiencing this. And it's interesting because what you both shared, one of my talks I'll be doing on the Global Summit is who are you and what defines you? And what I mean by that is I find that the best way I can help people right now is to just remind them that there's a light within, there's a wholeness, a center within, and all of these experiences they're having are just outer layers that, you know, that just help them to forget who they are. So, yeah, I am dealing with a lot of clients like that right now, too.
I've noticed lately that I've never seen so much projection and blame and no personal responsibility, even in the UFO community and the spiritual community, all that. It's unbelievable. Everybody is like a bunch of monkeys throwing, you know what, species at each other. And I just go, guys, you know, there is no such thing as competition in this field. You know, we all have information. We all need to share. We all need to work together. And, you know, stop sticking knives in each other's backs and doing the character assassination, because you're only going to assassinate your own in the end, you know. So, but
my heart goes out to the newly awakened who have no idea what's going on. Right. Oh my gosh. Those are the clients that are coming in more and more now, because they now are recognizing that they're actually spiritual beings in a human experience, you know, and that's going, do you know anything about this? And I'm like, yeah, come on in.
We can help. Yeah. Sorry, Rochelle. It's like, what's the next step for me? What do I do with this? Right.
Yeah. How come I feel so awful?
I thought I was pretty on top of things, you know, and you know, universe always humbles you, but, you know, I was feeling really good. I was really good at clearing and everything else. And boy, I had a couple whammies hit me and I just went, wow, where did that come from? I had to regroup, you know, and center in again and go, wait a second, you know, I'm okay with God, you know, I don't know about all this other nonsense. You guys can have fun with that, you know, and I just kind of retreated to Hawaii, which is great, you know, and jump in the ocean. You know, the ocean doesn't judge you. The dolphins don't judge you. You know, it's just, everything kind of goes away.
Well, okay. I'm finding the emotional trauma that we've been storing, even people like ourselves who've been working on ourselves for so long. Holy cow, I'm getting blindsided by that myself as well.
Exactly.
You know, right? We're still in school. I mean, we're here. We're in school. It's not over yet.
Well, you know, you're talking about defining people. And I had a beautiful yoga teacher quite a few years ago. And she actually put me up on stage. And there's about 30, 40 students there. And she said, okay, I want you to tell us everything you like and don't like about James and write it down. And then she had everybody read it. And I stand on stage, I'm going, oh my God, man, I'm not that. That's not me. And then when she got through, she said, okay, I want you to look at what you wrote down. Everything that you wrote down was you. And you need to own it. And he's a mirror. He's a divine mirror. He's reflecting back to your own unhealed wounds and traumas and projections, you know. And I went, whew, man. And then ever since from that time on, I realized that nobody can ever really see who you are. They never will be able to see. All they can see you is through their filters and their projections.
Yep.
And so all you can do is pull yourself back to your own center and let them work out their stuff. And you know, and sometimes you can, you know, when you see the big red button, you can poke it now and then, you know, just to help
Jake,
them.
You mentioned mirrors, that she gave you a mirror or something like that. Anyway, that's part of what I'm going to be doing in my talk. And I did that once before. And I had people, you know, hold a mirror up and look past everything just into their eyes and stare for a while and then say, I love you, I love you. And do you know half the people could not do that? They could not look that close at themselves, you know?
No. It's like people can't be in silence with themselves either because they don't like the noise within them that's going on, right?
Right.
They can't be alone with themselves.
Absolutely.
Difficult situation, but it's true. Yeah.
I've been explaining to people a lot that, you know, they keep worrying about me, you know, and they go, are you okay? Are you okay? And I just explained to them, I said, I'm really a hermit at heart. So I'm really okay. Don't worry about me. I'm really just doing my own thing right now. I'm focusing on building rock walls and planting coconut trees and all this other stuff here. And I said, I'm really fine, you know, and I've noticed lately through these changes, I'm finding out more and more, I just want to be by myself, which
yes,
not it's just, I don't want to deal with all the drama and all the projections and all the other stuff. Yeah.
You know, that makes me wonder when you just said that, James, that, you know, growing up in a small village, it was very much like Hawaii, I guess, but sugarcane fields, coconut trees, and you had nothing to distract you. So you spent all your time in nature, the river or the sugarcane fields and nature. And I feel like as I've come full circle in my life, that's what I crave more than anything else, is to be alone in nature with myself and just talk to the trees, you know?
Yeah, and it's okay. You know, I tell people that the more you can take your shoes off and get out in nature and get in the ocean or whatever, get grounded, readjust to the new frequencies, the better off you'll be. And you got to slow down, you know, because everything's speeding up.
Yes.
So you got to get out in nature and meditate and go within and feel that stuff going through you and, you know, own it and just let it go. Let it move on through.
I just recently saw a research study on grounding, you know, putting your feet in the earth. And I mean, we know it's true because we've been doing these things for years, right? But the scientific world needs to prove such things. And it showed, you know, blood that was all clumped up and, you know, signs of diabetes and signs of all kinds of blood disorders. And then after 20 minutes of being on the earth with bare feet, the blood completely separated from itself and pulled itself away. And, you know, each cell was flowing freely by itself, which is what our blood is supposed to do, you know, and just from grounding.
Yeah. Well, you know that they make bed sheets now, right? So if you can't get outside, you can use bed sheets. It's like, really?
I've got one, actually.
I have a set of those, and I've never hooked them up because I'd rather go outside.
Right. I rarely wear shoes, you know, when the weather is okay, the shoes are not on. I grew up on a farm, so we were barefooted all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I noticed Yasmin, are you in Yucca Valley now, or is that?
Me, I am actually, I live up in the mountains near Big Bear and also near Yucca Valley, near Joshua Tree. So right now I'm up in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
You know where
Apple Valley is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I was raised there as a kid.
Oh,
wow.
In Apple Valley, so.
It is so hot out here right now, James.
I bet, yeah. It's hot here. It's about 90 today, which is kind of unheard of for this time of year, but and then you got the humidity on top of that as well. But when we were kids, we would go barefoot all the time. And we had big, thick calluses on our feet. And we'd go across the desert, climb the rocks, everything, walk across the asphalt.
Yeah.
You know, and it was melting, but you'd leave footprints in the asphalt. It was crazy. And it never bothered us. We never thought about that. You know, if I do that today, I'd probably have all kinds of pictures. I could do the firewalk mentality, you know, just to get across the sand now.
Yeah, maybe that's what the kids, you know, when you're children and you're barefooted, you don't even think about it. But, you know, now that we're adults, we're like tiptoeing through the rocks and whatever, you know, and having that experience. Yeah.
I had little shorts on once, and I just had shorts and some shoes, and that was it. No shirt. And I was walking through. I walked through all this poison oak, all this stuff. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I never got it. And and as soon as I found out what it was, I ended up getting it. So it's amazing.
I'm totally there. Yeah.
That's powerful what you just said, right? Think about what you just said.
Yeah.
It's whatever you put your energy or your focus on, you get more of, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you just told yourself it's bad, so all of a sudden now you're getting it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I didn't know it was bad, and everybody's freaking out, going, "Oh, you walked through that? I can't. You're gonna have poison." You know, they're all freaking out. Like, "Oh, I'm fine," but I allowed it in. You know, I ended up getting. Right. I got a mild case, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. There's other things going on these days like that as well.
I know the Native Americans they'll take a little bit and put it under their arm. So they'll build up an immunity to it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then, if you drink goat milk, goats can eat it and it doesn't even bother them, and they create an immunity. And so you can drink
goat milk.
And goats have
interesting. Heart. So you also know that in nature, right next to something that's poisonous is something that can cure it, right?
Exactly.
So there's mugwort that they use for poison oak. And it grows right next to the poison oak.
Yeah, Myra, you both have met Myra. She's an herbalist, and she's got the whole kitchen has got stuff hanging everywhere. every herb and she's got golden seal, mugwort.
That's great.
I'm trying to think what else. She's mullein. We have tons of mullein hanging.
You probably have all of that stuff growing out at the ranch, don't you?
Yeah. All the men are growing there. But the ranch is like a big food bank. We have a big pond full of fish, and we have orchards of everything. And so it's, you don't have to, we have chickens that provide all the eggs we need and things like that.
Yeah. And have you been out there before?
Never.
Oh my gosh. It's truly.
I want to go.
Yeah.
Truly wonderful.
It's a mind blower because it's on a vortex where two ley lines cross. So masters are appearing there. We have photographs of Mary, Kuan Yin, Babaji. A lot of the masters are actually taking form there and being photographs. And we've had a lot of monks come there and things like that that just had amazing experiences and got their own photographs as well. But
so how does one come there, James?
Just give us a call. You know, just go to eSETI.org and it's awesome. We're almost closed. I think we're closing at the end of September because the weather gets really bad, but we're having a later summer. Summer seems to be dragging out.
Right.
It started late, and so it's coming later. So but everything took about a month behind. All the crops and the fruit and everything's about a month behind there, but
So are you opening the same type of place in Hawaii? Is that what you're doing there?
Yeah. I'm creating an eSETI Hawaii, and I have some other people involved. And it's kind of more of a feminine energy that's being created here.
Okay.
Two pieces, and I have a little, you know, basically I got a stall, a horse stall.
Oh, wow.
On my side. And the other side has all these beautiful houses and everything else. But it's all been converted. Now it's really nice. It's all got bamboo floors. And it's been drywalled and new windows. And
nice.
So it's all been converted. It's all solar. It's off the grid.
Beautiful.
The only thing we have on.
How far are you from the ocean, James?
I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go, Rochelle. We're coming over.
We're on our way.
But, you know, we're getting ready. I don't know how soon it's going to be. Well, because we have a lot of work to do on it before we can start having workshops and things like that. But we're getting close. And so we'll put you on the list. Maybe we can do some retreats here and things like that.
Lovely.
Yeah. Super. James, I want to bring us back to the Global Healer Summit because we're excited to have you as one of our keynote speakers. That is fabulous. Our event is 3 days long and we have six keynotes. So a keynote opens each morning and a keynote opens each afternoon. And we are just really, really excited to know what you're going to share with us. And
yeah, can you let me know some of the lineups that you have? Who do you have? Who are your keynotes? Or
I'll tell you who they are. Just a minute. Let me just. I had that open, but now it's not. So here it is. First of all, I don't know. Do you know Dr. Clint G. Rogers? He wrote the book Ancient Secrets of a Master Healer, and he is talking about the way that love can be the healer and of the planet, really, the healer of our own individual bodies and of the planet. And he is sharing the wisdom from the Siddhaveda and Ayurveda lineage that goes all the way back to Buddha.
Nice.
Buddha's physician, whose name was Jivaka. And then Dr. Smita Naram and Krishna Naram, who were Dr. Pankaj Naram's, Dr. Smita was his wife, and Krishna is his son. And Dr. Naram unexpectedly passed not too long ago. Yeah. And so that was a tragic situation. But now his wife and son are taking the reins. And it's really going to be neat. So they're also keynote speakers. Mm-hmm. And then we have Peter Sterling. Do you know Peter Sterling? He's a world-renowned harpist.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Gary Malkin, who is a seven-time Emmy Award-winning composer. He's also one of the keynotes. And the final one is Sheila Collins, who she's got a TED Talk, and she's a real amazing grief specialist. She lost two of her three children. And so she's, dived deep into the healing process of grief. And so she's going to be speaking on that. And she's got several books out. And yeah, so those are the keynotes. And then we've got a tremendous lineup of others that are pretty deep as well. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I was just talking to a guy. He was the other day, and he was kind of grieving. He said, "I lost my wife." And I said, "Where'd you put her?" And he just gave me this look like, "What? What is wrong with you?" And I said, "She's not lost." I said, "She isn't lost." I said, "You know, you believe she's lost, so she's lost." But I said, "They're, you know, you put her in this box of gone, and then you get rid of that box. And do your grieving, whatever you need to do. You have to respect that. Yeah. But she's not lost. And she's waiting for you to finish and then start having a conversation with her like this." I just started crying. And he goes, I know she's talking to me. I just can't hear her." And I said, just meditate, you know, focus on her.
Right. Yeah,
she's in a great space. I said, "Don't worry. She's made it to a very high space." So.
Well,
you don't have to worry. Don't grieve for her. No more grief for her. She's doing great. You know, right.
I was just going to say,
people on earth that are left over, you know, that are having the problem.
Your sense of humor is like mine, though. That's how I would have responded too. She's not lost,
right?
You know, it's funny. It's really hard to hit a smiling face, you know.
Yeah.
When you're laughing, you know. So right. I probably should be hit for some of the things that I do. But
yeah.
when you said that, I was like, "Ew." That just caused a great deal of pain in their world.
But they, you know, what I also do is I hold them in the frequency that allows them to process very quickly.
Right.
And as soon as that comes up, it goes out. You know, so
there's
more going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. You just can't say stuff like that if you're not using higher frequencies at the same time.
Of course.
They'll go over like a lead brick. Yeah.
Right, right. It doesn't touch the most beautiful chords when they're feeling that kind of
stuff. You've probably had similar, but I've had two near-death experiences and actually death experiences that came back. And I'm good on the other side. I know what's on the other side. I know all the relatives are there, you know. And so it's just, I really have a hard time grieving when somebody dies anymore.
Yeah,
I get more upset about animals, you know.
Right.
I should know better.
Right. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, James. So I mean, I've had, I guess, one slight near-death experience, but I have been to the other side just because I've been meditating my whole life.
Exactly. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have been through the tunnel where you come in, where you go out, visited everyone, you know, just, I mean, there's a slew of people. I will call them people for lack of a better word, but, yeah. You know, ascended masters, angels. And that's going to be one of my other talks on the summit is we are multidimensional beings and we live yeah. in a multidimensional universe. You know, I started my second book, which I call There Is No Veil. There mm-hmm. never was a veil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And that, yeah. that is true. The more you meditate, the veil becomes thinner and the more you can remember.
Yes.
And we're going and in our at night, we're going to all these other things and dreams and having experiences and going to other dimensions. And right. a lot of us are working really hard on those. We wake yeah. up all tired and beat up because we've been working on those other dimensions. And
mm-hmm. exactly.
we're all doing it, but just we're not aware that we're doing it unless we do our spiritual practices. And that makes the veils thinner and allows you to remember more when you come back in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, the lucid experiences are coming in pretty strong these days, too. Yeah. So knowing where we are and what we're doing. I don't know if I should reveal this, James, but you and I were connected in a lucid experience one time.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was.
I hear that a lot. Everybody keeps telling me I keep appearing to them. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, this was me. I don't know how we managed to get to East Eddy, but I hadn't been to East Eddy at that point. And somewhere we met on a spacecraft and we came down to East Eddy and there was a big spacecraft sitting outside and it was pretty normal to me, but yeah. I don't know how normal it would be to other people. So
yeah, there's a lot. I always tell people, you know, people will kind of go like this, they'll go, okay, I want to see, but I'm not sure. And that's kind of what they get because spirit's not going to push them.
Yeah.
And other people go there and have amazing experiences. Like people have even Bigfoot appear to them. They'll mm-hmm. see apparitions. They'll see. And some people will just see the ships in the sky up high doing their thing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're treetop level. They're landing on the mountain and morphing into three or four. And it's different every time. And the group energy creates the experience. You know, they stand the group and say, okay, these guys are ready. And we had a really good group up here recently, right before I came to Hawaii, and they came up and they had amazing experience. There's like three or four spontaneous healings. One woman, her back was broken. It just spontaneously wow. healed, things like that. And the ships came in really low, like right over the house. And I got it all on film.
Mm.
And, it was an amazing experience, but you know, that's available for people that initiate or ask for and put your time in your meditation time, get out in nature and
Absolutely.
Get out of that monkey mind, you know?
Yeah. I heard the pterodactyl while I was there and it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that is so amazing. And you hadn't talked about it before, so I didn't know what it was. So I came and asked you and you were like, I think that might've been the pterodactyl. Yeah. It was this,
you know, people think you're crazy.
Loud sound, you know?
Yeah, it's like Jurassic Park or something like that when you hear that thing. And we've actually had multiple witnesses see it, and we've had police see it. One guy drove his car off the road because it was eating a dead deer on the side of the road, and he couldn't even talk. All he could barely spit out was pterodactyl, you know. And the police that pulled him over said, you know, we would probably take you in right now if we didn't see it flying away. You know? and so it's multiple sightings. There's a doorway to the inner earth there. Mm-hmm. And I think things get out every once in a while. You know, they get out and everything is preserved in there. They've preserved all the life. A lot of things that we think are mythological are still preserved on the inner earth.
When I hear, you know, people, you know, in awe of, wow, I saw this, I had that experience. And I just feel like, well, isn't that normal? I mean,
yep.
Isn't it normal? I mean, we all have access to everything, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's to everything, to the ETs.
Yeah.
And then when I hear the people, you know, say, what? You saw that? you know, I just went, wow, that's normal. Come on.
Well, what's funny about this one is that it landed in a tree, right, in the Field of Dreams there where all the other things happen. It landed in this tree, and I went out there with night vision goggles, and it wasn't that dark yet either, and I could see it clear as a bell. And I took I had a laser in my hand, so I lit it up with the laser, and it made this weird squawk noise and took off. And it flew over the whole group, and they saw it, and they could not. And I don't know if that how smart that was, because, you know, a little laser pin's highly overrated when it comes to dealing with the pterodactyl, but it flew over me. It flew right over me and over the group, and everybody saw it, and they just said it had bat wings. That was not a bird. It was not a. Mm-mm. It had leathery wings, and they could see the whole form. And it's that one with the little ball. I think they call them a pterosaurus. It has a little ball at the end of its tail.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've had multiple witnesses see it, and with really good binoculars, they looked up close, and they just said, they first thought it was a dragon when it was flying.
Wow.
And then they looked closer with the binoculars, could see, you know, it was a pterodactyl. But there's a lot of sightings. I think Wyoming's having a lot of sightings of pterodactyls as well.
I have a question for both of you, because, and maybe this is not a right time to ask this, but my philosophical mind, you know, just going, as you're talking about these experiences, you know, because I know that I go into different timelines. You know, I've gone back and helped people way back, you know, BC done some work there and come back and remembered it the next day. So I wonder, when you're talking about these things, if you guys aren't, when you're on the ranch, if you're not shifting to another timeline or it's opened up, right?
That does happen. And we've seen things where we looked up and looked like a giant manta ray, just like manta ray going right over the top of us.
Right.
This is really getting bizarre here. And then one time I was out working in the garden, I look up and there's this little, I don't know, pygmy. I don't know if that's socially correct, but a little person, a little black guy, and he had a little string on him, and he had a small little bow, and that's all he was wearing, his little string. And he went by and he was just smiling at me. He walked right by me. And I said, God, this is like Africa or something. Like, what the heck is going on here? But we see beings appearing, and then just light beings appearing, light ladders. We filmed a lot of it there. There's just so much going on. It's multidimensional, and there's different. It's like time, different times converging there.
Well, that's funny. I wonder if the little pygmy guy you saw is my guy, because I've been hanging out with him for a while. He's, you know.
He had a big smile on his face, you know, and I go, hope he doesn't pull an arrow out or something. But he was just had a big smile on his face, and he was just walking by, and I smiled back at him. He kind of nodded and just went on his merry way, you know. So
my guy had a spear, and then he's like, will you please help us? And I said, you know, what do you need? And he goes, well, my people are being attacked because we live in this valley. And in the vision, and this is in a deep meditation, right? I take him and his tribe, you know, to near some water, and they're safe and all of that. And I said, okay, you're okay now. And then he's standing there with his spear going, but can't you stay? We'd like you to be our leader. So anyway, very interesting.
We have a staunch rule at the ranch is that everybody has to lead themselves. You know, that's...
Yeah.
I'm not your guru. I'm not your, you know,
right.
You know, right. You are, and we're just going to help remind you of who you are. And that's, and we're very adamant about that at the ranch, that, you know, no following, no, because it diminishes your own connection, you know.
And your own power.
Exactly. Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately that is happening, and it's probably open up a can of worms to talk about, but there's a lot of people in the field right now that they're just in it for the fame and the money and the following, and really trying to create a following, but they're putting up an image, you know, they're like posers, you know, and they're not who they are. And it's sad because, and they're kind of misleading a lot of people out there. And now one of the big movements now is like chips are fashionable, you know, get your chip, you know, And now they're even pushing it in the sci-fi movies now that, oh yeah, we're all chipped and we have all of our biometrics and we, Star Trek is pushing it. Everybody's chipped in the future, you know, and I'm just going, oh God, you know, we got to stay away from that transhumanism thing, you know, and the chips.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh. If anything would weird me out, it's that when people start saying, you know, no, that's the great way to go. I'm like, yeah, right. What are you thinking? You know,
how are you this vehicle right here? This is the ultimate ship.
Yes.
Right here. We can go up to the 13th dimension and back, mm-hmm. you know, in this ship right here. And right. if we start putting hardware on us, we're going to be limited to whatever the hardware can do.
Right.
On it. And you can't take hardware into the higher dimensions anyway. So, you know, it's going to actually diminish your ability to actually experience 5D on up, you know, because the hardware isn't going to make it.
Well, everything is frequency. And when we put stuff in that doesn't resonate at an elevated frequency, we're just lowering our own frequency and exactly. reducing our capability of connecting to the higher levels. That's what my book's about, right?
Haven't you both found that as all of us and many others like us who, you know, have sort of climbed that spiritual ladder, it's so much easier to see right through those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as they show up, you know, no matter what they're saying, you can see right through it.
But yeah, that's because we're seasoned, right?
Yes.
The unseasoned don't. They get manipulated by them.
Very
and
true.
You're also a threat. You know, you're one of their biggest threats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So they do everything they can to disqualify you, discredit you, or anything else, rather than own their
yes.
own crap and heal and go to the next level, which is
right.
You know, it's like I was hoping I'm not here to take anybody down. I'm here to assist whoever wants to heal and go to the next level.
Right.
You know, this other stuff, all this in-house fighting and competition and everything, it's got it. It serves nobody. It serves egos and that's all. It doesn't serve anything else. But
right.
You know, I keep saying that this big shift in consciousness, what we've just gone through and still going through, it's all about collaboration. Yeah. I mean, to me, competition is not even in my, you know, I don't even use that word anymore. You know, it's totally, and if people aren't willing to collaborate and help and support each other, then I don't know.
Yeah, I have had a bunch of stuff thrown at me and I go, yeah, okay, I'll be that. I'll be whatever you want me to be. But they don't know what to do with that. You know, I just go, okay, you know, I'll be whatever you want me to be. I said, that's the way the universe works. It's, you know, and it's not how I am. It's not how I think of myself, but you can throw whatever you want.
As you wish, right?
Yeah, as you wish. You know, only the ego needs defending. The rest, you know, I'm having your death experiences. I know I'm good, you know, on the other side.
I do have to ask James, the lion, is there... Can you give me a little explanation about that? I love that.
Oh, the lion. People say I morph into a lion every once in a while. And so so I have a really strong connection with the Lyrians, the 7D Lyrians, which are lion beings. They're like 17-foot tall lion beings.
Okay.
You're here to help a lot of the healers and the light workers now need some major protection because just as there are some awesome light beings out there, there's some pretty nasty dark beings. And mm-hmm. so you can call these in for protection. And in ancient times, they call them, is it Narisha and Narsringa and think of the feline beings. Mm-hmm. But there's three levels to the feline beings. There's humanoid cat beings. And then there's more like upright panther beings. And the lion beings are like 17 foot tall and they're upright. They wear robes and things like that. But they were the protectors of the gods in ancient times, the ancient Lyrians that came here. They were the protectors of the gods until they fell. And when they fell and started, you know, having all kinds of power skirmishes and, you know, with Enki and Enlil and those two lineages started. And actually Marduk actually made a pact with the reptilians for total supremacy of the earth. And that's we've been under that draconian mess ever since then, like 400,000 years ago, maybe even further. But all that's being cleaned up now because the benevolent ones are all returning and they're cleaning this up and taking away these influences so we can be free to move on without all these negative influences going on.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. It's beautiful. I love that. You know,
I have a couple line beings like Bacall and Iha are two. It's a male and female, and they come in quite a bit. And I always tell people, you know, if you're having trouble with some of these serpent beings or reptilians and these other guys, just call the lion beings in. It's like game over. It's like, you know, 17 foot tall slice and dice. You know, I asked him one day, I go, what do you do with these reptilians? He goes, we just throw them down and rub their bellies. He said, we're 17 feet tall. There's nothing they can do with us. And
wow.
So they have a sense of humor too. They're really, the big ones are very goofy on purpose because they're very intimidating. And they'll strut around and do little dances and act really goofy because they don't want to intimidate people, you know, and freak people out. So, because a lot of us are afraid of our own power. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're bringing to us, that lion within. You know, they're helping us to regain our own power, you know, and they're not here for anything else.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for explaining that to me.
Do you have that information in your books, James?
Yeah. I've written about that in the books, all of my books, especially Anunnaki Return, because a lot of people have misconceptions about the Anunnaki because there were fallen Anunnaki, but there were benevolent ones that continued, and they continued to ascend and went up to the sixth dimension on up. And they're coming back now with the lion beings to clean up the fallen stuff that happened in the past. And so they're also cleaning up a lot of the gray reptilian, all that alliance that's all being cleaned up as well. So they're returning, but everybody thinks Anunnaki are reptilian. They aren't. They're from ancient Lyra, and they're the bearded gods, you know, the Greek gods, the Egyptian god, all those, the bearded gods. That's where we got our image, you know, God from these guys. And, but there's a greater God, whatever you want to call it. It's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness, you know, right, all planes and dimensions of the multiverse.
So James, I haven't looked, maybe Rochelle has, but what are you going to talk about on the summit?
What do you want me to talk about?
Our theme is align with the frequency of health. So it's kind of a wide open possibility, actually. Yeah.
Maybe I'll cover the multidimensional help that's coming in and how we can access it and the different groups that are here to help us right now.
And that would be exceptional. Yeah.
Yeah. I can move into that. Because, you know, when we bring these beings and when we do the healing circles, people have spontaneous healings when they connect with their family, star families, and it happens all the time. And, but when it does happen, I tell people, look, I don't take credit for it, and I don't take blame if it doesn't. It's between you and them. We're just creating a space for it to happen.
Yeah. But we can be the catalyst that helps that energy come through.
Yeah. We're just a catalyst, and we're creating a sacred space for that to happen. But, you know, some people aren't ready yet. It's not part of their timeline or their karma.
Exactly.
To be healed, and there's nothing you can do. They have to do some things first. You know, they're just not ready.
Well, and a lot of times they can't believe because they're still thinking from the human construct. So they can't believe that it's possible until they see it in another way. You know, until they see somebody else experience it, maybe.
Right.
Somebody come in this big elaborate back brace, right? And it's holding them together. And then after the session, they see him walking around without it, you know? And
she that helps convince people a lot.
There's nothing gone. And they say, well, where's your brace? You know, and they go, I don't need it. Or you see people coming down on crutch, you know, and then it's gone. But again, that it doesn't always happen. You know, it's between them and creator what happens, and it's up to their contract or their agreements or whatever. But we just create a space for it to happen.
To
accelerate the process.
Part of them making their way there. I mean, if somebody walks in my door, they're ready for something and they're ready for something big. Right.
Their intention is that they've set the intention. They've made the choice. And so.
Yeah,
they're open for things to happen, you know, and that's what they want. You know, I've had psychologists send people they gave up on, you know, because they had a lot of ritual abuse and things like that. They gave up on them, and so they told them, you have to go and see James, you know, or I'm not going to see you anymore. And those never worked out very well because it right. wasn't their choice.
Right.
So they were forced to do it basically. And what happened is we went through all the stuff and they just sat there and I'm just going, oh my God, you know, we're accessing everything and what happened and nothing happens. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, I'm just giving you a little heads up. This is going to come up for you later. Like you didn't want to process it here and you're too guarded, but just a heads up in a few days when you feel safe and you're just doing the dishes or something, this is all going to come up. And it does. It's just a delayed reaction. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does come up later.
Yeah. And basically because they were with you and the frequency was elevated for them, it yeah. set the stage for it to happen, which happens here too. You know, people come in here and it looks weird. It doesn't, it's not normal. And they're weirded out by it, you know, and if they come in from a linear standpoint, you know, they're really weirded out, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a 10-foot stargate in the middle of my healing space and the veil is thin, even though Ann says the veil isn't there. The veil is very thin in that space. So people have experiences that they wouldn't otherwise have. And they come out feeling a little bit apprehensive, but still knowing that something big happened, you know?
Right.
Yeah, the galactic medicine wheel does that to people because it has each star family is anchored into that galactic wheel.
Right.
And people will walk around the wheel and then they hit their pod or their group and bam, they just have a meltdown. I see them go down on their knees and just go, oh my God, they get taken out.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff happens in there all the time. And as soon as they step into that energy of that, whatever portion they're in, you know, of the medicine though.
Yeah, that's a powerful place, just a really powerful place. I meditated over there and you can almost hear the buzz.
Yeah, you can cut it with a knife almost. It's so thick.
Right? It's really.
Would you guys stop now? Because no, I just want to go there right now.
Yeah, you'll see wall-to-wall orbs there if you take a picture.
Yeah.
Just everything from those, what do they call them? I'm trying to remember the sky fish or the rods. You'll see the rods. You'll see every color orb. You'll see like 30 foot tall, big golden orbs and things. And we've actually taken photographs and actually blew them up and you see their faces in there. And some have pointy ears. They look like elven beings.
Uh-huh.
Some look like grand masters with big, big beards. And we actually even seen animal spirits in them. Like we saw like a cougar face and a bear face. And things like that. So it's really interesting, you know, what is, they're just beings without, they're light beings. They're beings without a body. You know, soul essence or whatever, of whatever's flying around there.
Well, at least the experiences you have and people have at your space, you know, you can take pictures off, you can film.
Yeah.
I have all those experiences, but it's all within. So, so I can't take a picture. I can only tell you.
You know what? This is, I tell people the UFOs and all the other stuff is bait. And it's bait for people to go within. All of this is within you. If you want to experience more of it, you have to do meditation time. You know, you have to clean up your past, release the wounds, traumas, and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And the more you do that, you're going to raise in frequency. The more you raise in frequency, you're going to start experiencing the other dimensions.
Yes.
And that's why we say contact comes with enlightenment, because on the way, you know, you're going to see, you know, very all kinds of ETs. You're going to see masters, angelic beings. You're going to see all that stuff is all out there, but don't let it distract you. You know, it's
right.
It's, you go, that's interesting. You know, like, look, like I'm in my own God self experiencing this. That's what you have to
do. Yes.
Like, anchored in my own God self having.
Yeah.
A multidimensional experience, because if you get out there, you know, you can get all tweaked out. You know, a lot of people just lose it. You know, it's like drugs. You know, they get blown into these realms and they have no training. And so they can have some really bad experiences because they don't have a foundation. They don't know how to heal unseen negative influences or things like that. We see that happen a lot, you know. So I tell people, you know, get a firm foundation in, in how to heal, how to clear your energy, how to create sacred space.
Yeah.
You know, before you do any of this stuff. And then you finally realize you don't need it.
Absolutely.
Right. I spent years meditating and was flying around. I could astral travel wherever I wanted to go and do all kinds of fun things out there. And then I went to Peru and one of the shaman just grounded me. And he said, you come down out of the stars. You need to do your work. And I couldn't get out again until I started doing my deep healing work.
Right.
I didn't know what he was talking about at the time because I didn't know I had healing work to do. You know, I just thought, oh, this is fun, you know, kind of thing.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
I had a massage. I love this woman. She was a really good friend of mine. And she was a massage therapist. And she was working on me one day. And my yoga teacher said that, too. She said, you know, you need to get a girlfriend and eat a steak because you don't even know you have feet. You know, but it's coming from a yogi, a female yogi, you know, that right. actually studied in India and all that. It was funny. But then I had this massage there. I love what she said. She says, you know, spiritual people are of no earthly good. And I go, wow. You know
what? Wow.
Because the work's here.
Yeah.
You know, right. The work's here. You got to ground it. You know, the work's here. And if we're all out there all the time, what good are we? That those
right.
levels are fine. They know what they're doing. They're okay. But it's here where the work needs to get. And
right.
then I found out the more grounded you are, the higher you can go.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm finding too.
You can hold, you know, the more grounded you are. So
yeah, that's exactly what I'm finding out now. But I didn't understand it then. You know, I didn't realize I didn't realize I was holding so much trauma. You know,
right.
but that. That's what led to the work that I'm doing. So
sure.
you know, part of the mission.
I have my totem is, you know, eagle. So I was in a sweat lodge many years ago, about 30 years ago. And all of a sudden somebody tapped me and said, hey, we're done. And I went, oh, okay, where'd you go? Anyway, I was given the name Eagle Eye. And I was told that because I can see the big picture, blah, blah, blah. Well, then over the years, same thing. I was up here, you know, just flying around all the time. And then finally, this red-tailed hawk came to me on my property. And I went, okay, so you're the meat, you know, you're like, you take the information from the eagle. And then a white wolf showed up and said, I am walking your path with you. Your path is illuminated. I'm going to ground you. So that's my totem. I use the eagle and the hawk and white wolf. So every time I feel like I'm way out there, I go, okay. Time to bring it down.
I was doing a sweat lodge with a bunch of Lakota elders, and they're asking me, it's a long story. I kind of cheated because I took this oxygen water and these super oxygenated pills. And so I went through 7 rounds. I was going, oh, this is great. Because it's the lack of oxygen that kind of tweaks you out. And the heat, when you have heat, there's no oxygen.
Right.
No people in there. But you can even transcend that without it. But I have a scientist friend that I work with. So I really keep my oxygen levels way up. But anyway, the chief there, and it was actually Golden Light Eagle who passed, but we were in the lodge together. And I turned around to him. He was asking me, he said, have you gotten your spirit animal? You know, and I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. And he goes, it's really quiet. And he goes, well, what is it like this? I told him it was farting slug. And I had all the chiefs, and all, they all just busted out. They just lost it.
That's funny.
I don't know. I have wherever I go, I have a bad sense of humor. It's probably inappropriate sometimes, but I'll never.
You know, lightens the load, and it's fun, right? It's playful.
You know, the more you're laughing, the closer you are to God. People don't realize.
Thank
that.
You for saying that. Thank
your love and joy and bliss. That's what it
yes.
is. And you're laughing, you're opening your crown. When you're smiling, your crown is
right?
open. And even when you're doing Yigong or Qigong or any of these, they say smile because your crown opens. And the energy can come down through your crown. It's important to have fun and smile and have fun with it. If you get real pious and serious, it loses the connection. You know, it loses the energy.
You know, it must be because I grew up on the islands because you're always, you know, more relaxed and smiling all the time. And when I came to the States, I was like 15. And anyway, they used to call me Smiley. That was my nickname. And I said, this is permanent, you know, get rid of it.
But you know what he called us? I'll probably get thrown off the air. We call them shit-eating grins.
Uh-huh.
When you make the connection, you get this shit-eating grin on your face. And everybody goes, what's so funny? And you go, everything.
Right. So you said something that I agree with. It's so true. I believe the more you raise your awareness and consciousness and the frequency, that, you know, that joy just shows you're just filled with it. Yeah. And so
it's like returning to the energy of the child, right?
Yes.
The energy of the unhurt child. They're just playful and they're filled with joy just for no reason.
Exactly. You know,
having
when I had the near-death experience, I go, and I came back and I was just wide open and I could hear people's thoughts, feelings, everything. I go, wow, this is what I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you do, you go back to that childhood awe, that openness and everything else. And you get the big reset. You know, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour and I want to definitely give people, you know, your Healer Summit information to make sure that they can connect and check out the summit. But what's the best way for people to get in touch with you to sign up for the summit?
It's globalhealerssummit.info. Great. And right inside that, the first page of the website is a place where they can register.
Eventbrite. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an Eventbrite event and there's 32 speakers and all of them are renowned in some way in their field. And the idea here is to just open up the collective oneness for everybody and spread a wave of love to elevate the frequency of the planet. I feel like we're going to affect the Schumann resonance during this event.
I agree about it.
Yeah.
These put a huge dent in the collective consciousness when you get these people together and then you're it makes a big difference.
It's huge. Huge.
And it was wonderful meeting you and I'm excited to visit one of these days and looking forward to hearing you talk in a few days on the summit.
Yeah, and I'll be back at the ranch probably May on, and we'll start having events there and things like that. We'll let you guys know.
So you're staying to stay in Hawaii for all the winter, huh?
Yeah. I need a break. I've been doing this I've been doing this for 38 years and 10 years.
Okay.
And I'm at a point now where I just go, okay, I need to back out. I just need to regroup, and I've been putting everybody else first.
So
I'm taking some me time for my own healing, my own.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And necessary too, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for this big S storm to go through and then I'll come back out again. Right. Yeah, I think it's going to go till November at least.
One of the speakers that we have on the summit is one of the guys that's capable of figuring out what area, you know, where the energy is correct for you personally, as far as, and you can speak to that a little bit better.
Oh, yes.
But
Elliot Tanzer, he actually just moved from the States to Mexico and he lived in Hawaii pretty much for a lot of his life, but wrote a ton of books on feng shui and astrology. But now he's been doing charts for people over the years that he can tell you exactly where you should be living for abundance and health and wealth and all of that kind of stuff. So,
according to the ley lines and such, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we got to sign off. We're out of time. I'm getting the cue from the producer. So,
okay.
Again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It was awesome talking with you. I know your conference is going to be a great success and we'll do all we can to promote it here as well.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome.
Appreciate being on, James. Yes. It's an honor to be a part of this program. I've been watching it for years.
Oh, great. And give my regards to Jody. You know,
yes.
We're all being challenged right now.
Yep.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great evening.
All right.
Sign off, folks. We're out of time. This is James Hillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and that will get you through. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night. Watch the skies, too. Got it. Oh.